I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now every Monday. And I like to talk to you guys about things related to our mental health. And I do this because I'm a marriage and family therapist, registered intern number IMF69783, registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. And I work under the clinical supervision and employment over at Chico Creek Counseling with Joe Taylor, licensed marriage and family therapist. Okay. So today I was thinking of talking to you guys about things that look like depression but might not be. Okay, so just all the different ways that we might label ourselves one way or another when it might be something completely different. And I'm thinking about two clients that I had this morning. One was a child and one was a teenager. And both are there for, you know, their respective issues. And the child, that child's behavior might be so many things. So many different diagnoses look the same with children. A child who has depression might actually be acting out. They're not super lethargic. A child who has ADHD might be acting out a little bit, right? But also a child who has an issue with his eyes, who can't process the letters and the numbers the same as other kids, whether it's dyslexia or just a processing issue, they're going to be acting out. A child who might have a general medical condition, they don't feel good. Their body doesn't feel normal. They're acting out. Because kids don't know how to express the negative sensation that they're feeling. So they might be feeling, they might genuinely have a mild depression or a severe depression, and they don't know how to express that. They can't sleep in because they have to be at school. And so when you're really tired and you want to sleep in and everybody is literally pulling you out of bed, picking you up, taking your clothes off you, putting your clothes back on you, getting you dressed for school, making you eat breakfast, and you are struggling with depression, how do you think you're going to respond to that? Are you going to respond gracefully? Thank you for getting me out of bed, for physically picking me up like a baby and getting me out of bed? Or are you going to fight back a little bit? Like, kick at the person. Get off of me. Get off of me. I don't feel like that today. No, I don't want to talk to the people in my classroom. No, I don't want to be around people today. So how do kids get people to not be around them? They're ornery. They're mean. They hit. They say mean things. They're annoying because, just leave me alone. They haven't learned those skills, how to be left alone. And society has this huge expectation where they're sitting, they don't have depression. Instead, they have a learning disability. And the teacher is trying to get them to read this paragraph and tell her what it said. And while they might know how to read, they might know how to put the letters together to form the words, when they are reading the words into the sentences, there's a disconnect, and it's not getting from their eyes or their mouth all the way into the part of the recesses of the brain that interpret the information. And so they feel stupid. And so they just interpret it as the teacher's frustrated with them. All the other kids can do it just fine. I can't do it. I feel stupid. You're asking me to do something I already don't know how to do because I've shown you several times I don't know how to do it. I get disappointed in myself. I can see that you're disappointed and frustrated in me. And so before you even have a chance to ask me to read that paragraph, I'm going to run up and throw my gum in the garbage. And then I'm going to run and throw this little piece of paper I found on my desk in the garbage. And then I'm going to go and sharpen my pencil. And then I'm going to do every single thing I can do to avoid it ever being my turn to do the reading, because I'm embarrassed, because I'm frustrated, because I have all these emotions about it that I don't even know how to identify. I don't have words to identify them. All I know is there's this discomfort in my body, and I don't like that. And I know the one thing that helps me relieve some of that discomfort is when I get up and do all these piddly little things. And then when it skips over me and it's the next kid's turn to read and I know that I won't have to read, suddenly that discomfort goes away. And suddenly I can sit in my chair for the rest of the assignment. And what all of the grown-ups are interpreting this as, all of the grown-ups are interpreting this as a power struggle. As this kid just won't do what he's supposed to do. This kid just wants to have total control of the classroom. Maybe. I mean, there's people out there who are like that. So maybe. But maybe there's something else going on. Maybe the child has perfect 20/20 vision. And they got their eyes tested at school. And they tested for the vision. But what they did not test for is that one eye, while they're reading, one eye wanders. Or while they're reading, their eyes cross a little bit. Or while they're reading, their eyes jump down two lines. And so they'll be in the middle of the sentence, and suddenly they're two lines down, and they have no idea what's happening. Why is it doing that? And they get so frustrated, and they feel stupid. Once again, they interpret this as, I'm stupid. There's something wrong with me. So then they refuse to do their reading homework. They refuse to do their writing homework. And all of the grown-ups think they're just being disobedient. They're just being naughty. They're just refusing. But really, it's this big other thing. Okay, commercial break, and then we'll be right back. This is Jessica Wilkerson from Chico Creek Counseling, and please stay tuned.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson with Chico Creek Counseling. I'm a marriage and family therapist registered intern. IMF 69783. I work at Chico Creek Counseling. I'm supervised by Joe Taylor, licensed marriage and family therapist. And I want to make sure that you guys all know that while we are talking about therapy-related topics, that a 30-minute show and commercial breaks is not a substitute for your own personal psychotherapy. It's amazing to be able to go and have someone else's undivided attention for 50 minutes. 50 minutes where you get to talk and the other person listens and it's all about you. You just really become known. All the aspects of you are known. Somebody knows exactly what's going on inside you, why you think that way. They know about your history. They know about what your dreams and goals are. They know what's frustrating you. And they have gotten a lot of their own education and additional trainings in order to help you work through all of that with from a skill point. I'm just such a proponent for therapy because I just love it. I went for therapy my own self in order to determine whether or not a relationship was healthy before I married the person. Needless to say, I already knew the answer to that. And I did not marry him, but I have a current marriage that's healthy and wonderful because I was able to process all of the way I was feeling and my worries and everything with somebody who knew what they were doing and who got to know me. So that is the whole deal that I feel about psychotherapy. So before we went to commercial break, we were talking about how children, some of their behaviors can look naughty or disobedient. Or like they're trying to have power, and sometimes they are. Sometimes they have lives in which they feel that they're completely powerless, and so they start reaching for power in inappropriate ways. Because they're kids, they're blank slates, they don't know how to do it the right way. It takes us as adults to guide them, to mentor them. So if you're a teacher, an aunt or uncle, a parent, think of yourself as a mentor. You know, when I think of myself, when I'm parenting my teenager who's in college now, it's been so different having him off at college. Anyways, when I think about parenting him over the last several years, what really helped transition from being the parent of a little dude to the parent of an adolescent was I took this shift in my brain, which ended up shifting the way that I interacted with him, right? And I thought of myself as more of a mentor than a parent. Still a parent. I still have all the parental responsibilities. But I added in there the idea of mentorship. Because when you're somebody's mentor, you talk to them with a little bit more respect. You speak to them in a way that they're a little bit more like your peer and less like they're someone so considerably younger than you and inexperienced. You're just mentoring them. You're helping them get a little bit farther along. And teenagers really respond to that. Every year I do, I work with the 2030 Club to help with their event where they buy school clothes for children. And every year the parents are so impressed that I was able to get their, I had a little girl who was a tomboy and her mom said, please make her get a couple of girly things. And I said, I'm not making that promise. But as we were walking around, I spoke with her. She was about 9, like a mentor. So I hear you like to wear boy clothes. Your mom wanted me to have you get something in the girls department. What do you think about getting something in the girls department that's a little bit more gender neutral? Like it still fits for a girl. You're not wearing something baggy like a boy, but it doesn't look all girly and pink and glitters. And by the end, all of her clothes came from the girls' department. Every single thing. She picked out every single thing from the girls' department because I just talked to her like a mentor, not like I'm her mom who's trying to get her to bend to my will for her. I respected what her will was and helped her learn how to navigate that. Where was I? So a lot of times when we are with children who are having behavior issues, it's easy to pigeonhole them. Oh, this kid has ADHD. Oh, this kid is just obstinate. Oh, this kid just wants power. Oh, this kid is defiant. Oh, this kid, I think he's depressed. Usually they don't say that because depression in a child looks like all of the other kinds of behaviors that are not depression. Because remember, if someone's making you do something and you have depression, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that thing. You just want them to get away from you and leave you alone and let you have your space. And kids don't know how to articulate that in a way that grown-ups can understand. And then if they somehow can articulate it in a way that grown-ups can understand, they still don't have the freedom to have that desire respected. And that is normal because they have to get to school. They have to get their homework done. They have to, if they made a commitment to their team, they need to get to their team. We have all these time schedules. They have to eat their dinner. And this is dinner time. You don't get to just lay in your room and eat dinner at 10 o'clock at night. So it's reasonable that they can't do the things they want to do just because of their depression. And so their behaviors look really rebellious. So it's really important to listen. What are they saying on a regular basis? Are they saying how tired they are? Are they saying how despondent they are? Are they saying how frustrated they are? Ask them, why don't you want to get up? Why do you get so angry? Is there any way that we can give you a little bit more control over the situation? Okay, we're already ready for commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more about teenagers and adults.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now. And we have been talking about behavioral issues in children in regards to possible diagnosis. And before we go further to talk about teenagers and adults, I just pulled up a flyer because one of my colleagues and friends, I met her working at Chico Creek Counseling, but now she's licensed and she hung her own shingle. She has her own therapy business. And she is putting on skill building groups for middle elementary kids. The one currently going is for girls, but she has a boys one starting, which I think is fantastic. Her name is Sarah Sanders, licensed marriage and family therapist. I might have her on the show in the next week or two to talk about her skill building groups. But her flyer says, improve self-esteem, social skills, and self-regulation. That self-regulation is a big deal out there, right? Who? Boys ages 8 to 11, October 14th, 21st, and 28th from 1:30 to 2:30. And her office is on California Park Drive over off Bruce, kind of in the that big subdivision of offices over in Low. On California Park. Okay, and the cost is $150. So that's basically $50 a session per kid, which therapy is $100 a session. So you're paying half price and your child is going in there. There's other kids his age and he's learning self-esteem, social skills, and self-regulation. Because it's one thing to teach self-regulation one-on-one in therapy and it's good and it's effective. But then you throw them out into the real world where it's not one-on-one. It's not in a quiet therapy office. They're around all the other kids, all the other stimulus, and they have to try to remember what they learned in your therapy session. It takes a long time. So these skill building groups are fantastic because they learn about it in real time with the stimulus of their peers being in the room with them. They're all learning the same thing. They're all practicing the same thing. So it's normalizing it. The kids feel like, oh, I'm not weird. There's nothing wrong with me that makes me different than everyone else. Oh, there's other kids who struggle with this too. Other people don't know this. Oh, I'm not the only one who doesn't know how to do this. Other kids don't know how to do this too. So it just kind of makes it all. And then once they have that, they can listen and learn and respond. And it's just fantastic. And Sarah is just has such a good heart, and she's so intelligent. She's easy to connect with. She's one of those folks who looks 10 years younger than she really is. So kids really rally around that because they think that she's a lot younger. So, hey, use what you've got, right? Okay, so if you want more information about this skill building group for boys, ages 8 to 11, October 14, 21, and 28, go to her online at sarahsanderslmft.com. So Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Sanders, L-M-F-T.com. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit more about teenagers and adults who might have depression or anxiety and how sometimes we think it's one thing and it's really another. So with depression, I always like when I have a client come in and they self-refer, I have depression. I usually ask, you know, what are your symptoms? What's happening for you? How is that affecting the people in your life, your relationships, your family, your work? And then I ask if they've had a checkup from their doctor lately. And I would tell you that probably 90 to 95% of the folks have not. And the reason I like to ask that is because there's a lot of medical conditions that can manifest as depression. Thyroid, for one, is a big one. And if you're not looking for thyroid, if you're not looking for depression when you go get your panel done, a lot of times they don't, the doctors are only asking for the lab work for what is present and what is standard. So if you're not presenting to your doctor the signs of depression when you go in for your general lab work, that's not something that he's necessarily going to go deeper in, because there's several different labs, and I can't tell you which one is which, but there are several labs that are just more sensitive than the standard one. So if you go in and you talk to your MD or DO or NP, whatever, your doctor, your medical professional, and tell them about these are the symptoms I've been having and I've decided to go see a therapist, then at least, even if you don't want medication, they can rule out other general medical conditions, such as thyroid. Depending on the doctor, some doctors believe that vitamin D has the symptoms of depression. Other doctors say that that's a myth. I mean, that's up to you and your medical provider. Most of the doctors that I've met do believe in lower vitamin D levels being sufficient to produce depressive-like symptoms in a person. Or if you're a male, if your testosterone level is too low, then you're going to have the symptoms of depression. Do you really have depression? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But what if we got your testosterone caught up? And if you're still struggling with depression, then let's treat that. But let's also look and see if maybe there's a couple other things out there in your body. Because we can do all the CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, we want, and we can work on it and work on it and work on it, and you can improve. But you can't have the same quality of life as you could if there's something generally going wrong with your body chemistry and you're not handling it. Okay, this is all. This is Jessica Wilkerson with Chico Creek Counseling. You can find me at chicocreekcounseling.com, and I'll see you next week.